WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. At least three deaths are blamed on the winter storm that's pushing from the nation's midsection into the east. CBS's Ian Lee in Clayton, Missouri.
Ice caking, trees caking, power lines, and that's caused a lot of power outages, a lot of accidents.
Congress acts today to certify November's election results. 4 years after the Capitol attack, Metro Police Officer Daniel Hodges was injured in the violence.
It's to be my honor to make it as uncomfortable as possible for the GOP members who try to whitewash that day and lie about what happened and pretend that we didn't save them.
With support dwindling in his own Liberal Party, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has announced he'll step down after 9 years in office.
It has become clear to me that if I'm having to fight internal battles, I cannot be the best option.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A 28-year-old Wausau man is dead after a car crash on December 30th, where two cars collided near the intersection of State Highway 52 and County Road X in Wausau. Elroy Hendrickson was transported to a local hospital with life-threatening injuries. The Marathon County Medical Examiner's Office says that Mr. Hendrickson did die from his injuries. And only one baby was born in Wausau on New Year's Day. Derek Tritz has the details.
Vincent Joseph Bergano entered the world on January 1st, 2025, at 1:39 p.m. in the Aspirus Wausau Hospital, hogging all the local spotlight for himself. Last year, the hospital welcomed zero new babies on New Year's Day. While it's tradition for many of us to learn about the first babies born into the world each year, having a birthday on New Year's Day is rare and is the second least common birthday behind Christmas, according to data from the National Center for Health Statistics. Bergano is not only one of the first to be born in the new year, but is also among the first to join the new generation, Generation Beta.
And energy experts say that Wisconsin is expected to see over a $4 billion investment in clean energy projects over the coming years. A number of long-term energy projects are planned in the Midwest that will either be completely or partially located in Wisconsin. One of those projects includes the construction of long-range transmission lines for transporting clean energy. Experts say the construction on the projects alone could support thousands of jobs, and when completed, they could produce over 6.5 gigawatts of clean energy. And GasBuddy recently released its 2025 fuel price outlook, forecasting a third consecutive year of lower gas and diesel prices. GasBuddy projects that the yearly national average for gas in 2025 will decline to $3.22 per gallon. Today in central Wisconsin, prices range from $2.79 to $2.85. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Packers fall to Chicago. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Nearly 78,000 fans in 15-degree temperatures watched the Chicago Bears beat the Packers 24-22 at Lambeau Field. Packers quarterback Jordan Love had to leave the game before halftime after injuring his right elbow.
I landed on it on the ground, I think. And yeah, just kind of pretty much lost all feeling in my hand and was pretty much just went numb.
Wide receiver Christian Watson suffered a torn ACL in his right knee. His season is over. Interim head coach Thomas Brown says the Bears were overdue to get a W.
First time we won a game in 10 games. First time we beat these cats in 11 tries. A lot to play for, and no better feeling than Cairo having a chance to come on the field. Great job our field goal team to protect. It was perfect execution, drilled it, right, game over.
So the Packers finished the regular season 11-6. They'll face the 14-3 Eagles in Philly on Sunday at 3:30. NBA, Bucks basketball tonight. The Bucks take on the Raptors in Toronto. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Bright and beautiful today with mostly sunny skies and temperatures just a smidge warmer. Highs will climb to the low 20s today with winds out of the north gusting around 20 miles per hour. This will make us feel more like the single digits today, but it's a boost. We'll become mostly cloudy tonight with calmer winds. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Currently, it's 21. The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, it's Monday, so our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K., will join us. Plus, it's January 6th. The counting and certification of the electoral vote is scheduled to take place. Tune in. We'll be wild.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. Old Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. Welcome in Monday, January 6, 2025. A great day to be a Wisconsinite. Now, 6 past the hour of 12 noon from beautiful downtown Madison, a block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommers, how was your weekend?
My weekend was solid. You know, got to spend some time with friends. I saw a movie. I saw Nosferatu. Not a movie for the kids. I'll say that.
What is it called?
Nosferatu, like the old vampire movie.
Oh, God bless you.
Yes, thank you.
Is this a new vampire movie?
Yes, it's a horror movie, a reimagining of one of the first vampire movies. And it's a very horny movie.
A what?
You
really?
Heard me.
Really? Sex and vampires. Who did a movie with that? Was it Tom Cruise? Didn't he do a movie with something like that?
I don't know. But it's a sexual movie, but not sexy, just disturbing.
Ooh. Not my cup of tea. Not horror is not in my genre of movies I enjoy. So
I'll,
but I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was fine. Just kind of laid low. Did a lot of organizing in 2025. We'll see how long that lasts. But trying to go through, and if I haven't used it, get rid of it, donate it, whatever. So yeah, I can't complain. It was a good weekend to have. I watched a little Packers yesterday, of course, and the Bears winning for the first time in 6 years. Our own Mike Clemens was there, our great sports reporter. Packers looked, I mean, they kicked a field goal with, what, a minute something left or a few seconds left, went ahead, looked like they were going to win it, but then the Bears brought on their field goal kicker. Of course, the Bears lost the first matchup in Chicago as one of the Packers defenders tipped it with his finger, and Bears lost at the buzzer. This time, the Bears won at the buzzer, Lambeau, 24-22. The Packers now 11-6 as they finish the regular season. They are the number 7 seed. And they will travel to Philadelphia. Game time is now set for this Sunday at 3:30 in the afternoon. That will be televised on the Fox network and can be heard on select Civic Media stations. We hope one of your stations has been selected, and you're in luck if you live in Richland Center, Park Falls, and Racine, Kenosha on the Green Bay Packer Radio Network. Again, game time kickoff set for 3:30 on Sunday. The Packers versus Philadelphia. Both Jordan Love and then Malik Willis had hand injuries. I'm very, very nervous about the Packers' chances. And did you watch? Then I was going back and forth between the Golden Globes and Sunday Night Football. I'm not sure Detroit could be stopped. I mean, they looked phenomenal last night against the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm going to say I would love to see them win it all.
Earl Ingram, he's a big Detroit fan, you know. And so
they could use a W.
They could use a W. And you know, Dan Campbell, he's a great coach. So I think that's going to be a tough team to beat in the playoffs. I mean, you got to go through Detroit. So we'll see what happens on the playoffs. But again, the Packers play on Sunday at 3:30 on Fox and in Richland Center, Park Falls, and Racine, Kenosha on the Civic Media Radio Network. But the playoffs are underway. Speaking of sports on Civic Media, the Wisconsin men's basketball team traveling out to Rutgers, beautiful New Jersey, and to take on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Tip-off is a little bit later or earlier. Broadcast start time, 5 p.m. this afternoon on stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. Men's basketball, Wisconsin and Rutgers, 5 p.m. for your tip-off or for your pregame show here this afternoon. So there you go. That's the calendar of events. Other top story this afternoon, particularly for our listeners in Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, Waukesha area, lake effect snow. Big system. You might have seen it happening in the middle part of the country. St. Louis, parts of that city are virtually shut down over through Nashville. Washington, D.C., getting about 8 inches plus of snow there. Cold coming down into that part of the country that not quite used to it. We basically escaped most of it, except for our listeners on the Lake Michigan shoreline. Lots of lake effect snow affecting that area. Most of it, according to radar right now, coming to an end. But winter weather advisory is still in effect for Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha area this afternoon. Checking the 511wi.gov roadmap for our listeners in that part of the state, kind of checking out how the roads are. As far as the state is reporting, the only areas that are in real having some issues as far as driving are just, Oak Creek area, just south of South Milwaukee on Highway 32. And then it looks like Highway 38, is it? Or 36, if I had better glasses? Oh, 38, by Caledonia area. So Highway 38, Highway 32 in that part of the state, some areas are snow-covered and slippery. And then down below Kenosha, Highway 32, from just south of Kenosha down to the Illinois state line, is also snow-covered and slippery as well. So if you're going to drive over in that far southeast part of the state or have plans, allow some extra time. Lake effect snow, again, most of that now coming to an end. Might see another inch of accumulation, but road crews are busy working at that. The rest of Wisconsin, according to the DOT, in good winter driving condition. Our meteorology department will continue to update that for you as the afternoon goes on as well. Big show today coming up in hour number two. What's worse in terms of months? We'll ask you about that a little bit later. Also, Elliot watching on YouTube or listening in on WMDX says, as a Bears fan living in Wisconsin, yesterday felt like we won the Super Bowl. Well, congratulations, Elliot. As my granddad used to say, even a blind squirrel finds a nut. No, I'm just kidding.
Are you though?
Kind of, sort of. Look, I mean, they outplayed the Packers. Of course, you know, look, the Packers basically had, you know, part of their second string in for a lot of the game. But hey, I appreciate the fact the Bears won, if for no other reason, they're supposed to be our biggest rival. And it's hard to have a rivalry when one side always wins. So if nothing else, to stoke up things and to make it more interesting, I'm glad the Bears won. And congratulations, they won it fair and square.
You know what? I agree. Especially since we're still going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
It makes it all right. You know, it's an acceptable loss.
And again, I'm very, very worried about the Packers' chances against the Eagles on Sunday. But we'll talk more about that maybe with Trigvi Olsen. He'll be back on Wednesday after a couple of weeks off. A Packers owner. I can tell you he is nervous a little bit as well. He and I were texting during the game last night. So anyway, we have What's Worse coming up in hour two. Also, we'll hear a little bit of Craig T. Nelson. You remember him on Coach back in the day? He's also been on Young Sheldon more recently on CBS. He was in Green Bay, has a new movie out, and we'll be interviewing him in hour. No, not really. Wouldn't that be great, though?
That would.
Wouldn't that be great if we were interviewing Craig T. Nelson? No. But we are going to play a little bit. He was in Green Bay. He has a new movie coming out, produced in part by Culver's. By Craig Culver, called Green and Gold, Packers a Story. And he was in Green Bay to promote that and also sang the national anthem at Lambeau Field. We'll talk a little bit about that. the Wisconsin State Park System turning 125. What's your favorite state park? Talk a little bit about that. And Gen Z, Mr. Zahmer's generation, all about the dry January.
Not me.
not Zahmer's. Okay, very good. And we'll take a look back as well at what happened this week and in terms of news. Get you caught up. A couple of big stories. You heard a little bit about it at the top of the hour there on some of our CBS and ABC News affiliates. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has resigned from his position as the leader of the Liberal Party this afternoon. Why it matters, according to Axios, the world's leading democracies are facing growing instability. Look to Germany, where Chancellor Olaf Scholz lost a confidence vote in Parliament, or the unprecedented government collapse in France. Trudeau's resignation came as polls indicated that the Liberal Party was set to be trounced by the opposition Conservative Party in the upcoming elections expected in or before October. Trudeau's decision to leave the post and his government's deepening unpopularity is a far cry from the popularity he enjoyed when he became prime minister, when polls showed he boasted approval ratings above 60%. Trudeau noted that the Canadian Parliament will be purged, essentially suspended until March 24th, when a new leader is chosen. He said it was, quote unquote, time for a reset. So there you go. Justin Trudeau is out, but he's staying on as prime minister until they elect a new parliament on or before October, one of those parliamentary systems. But again, we see these trends around the world. Liberal parties and kind of the controlling party or the governing parties are being thrown out for more conservative parties of opposition. Now, does that mean things are going to get better? Could get worse. But a lot of unrest. So what happened in the United States is not unique if you look around the world. Unsatisfaction, and people are saying, let's just give somebody else a chance. And it, quite frankly, doesn't make a whole lot of difference about the person's character or anything else. So the Canada is following the trend. We'll continue to watch that for you as well. It is the 6th of January, 2025. As Zahmer said before we went on the air, the 4th anniversary, of course, of the insurrection at the Capitol. Today at the Capitol, they are certifying the election of President Donald Trump. Vice President Harris has now called the joint session of Congress to order to certify Donald Trump's win. We'll continue to follow that. Again, the weather out in D.C. not really hampering the certification of the election. Everybody knew this was coming, so most legislators, congressmen, senators stayed in D.C. to make sure that everything went smoothly and to order. When we come back, I thought it was appropriate today to take a moment and go back to our interview with Harry Dunn, who was a Capitol Police officer on January 6th during the insurrection 4 years ago. He was on this program back in June. Going to play a little bit of that interview for you as well. We probably don't have time to do the Hakeem Jeffries cut. We'll play that. All right, we'll play that. Hakeem Jeffries got in a great line, by the way, on Friday. We'll play that cut for you and kind of review, bring you up to speed, let you know what's going on now. Also, the Wisconsin State Legislature, the Assembly in the Senate, inauguration day today. The one day of bipartisanship. We'll see how long that lasts. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Monday, January 6, 2025, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on Monday, January 6th, 2025. Glad to have you along, following lots of different things going on at this hour. Right now, Congress has been called to session by Vice President Kamala Harris. It is quite a scene, seeing the Vice President on the dais next to House Speaker Mike Johnson. All is expected to go well despite the winter storms in D.C. Most Congress people stayed in D.C., expected to go off without a hitch the certification of the 2024 election, which will certify Donald J. Trump as the next president of the United States. Well, I want to take you back just for a moment to last week, by the way. Because when we left you on Friday, Mike Johnson had just become, they had to wait. There was a lot of arm wringing going on behind the scenes, but Johnson did ultimately get elected speaker by one vote. And according to this great piece by Heather Cox Richardson, she says after the initial vote, but before it got gaveled to a close, Johnson went into his office with eight members of the far-right Freedom Caucus while Trump and incoming Chief of Staff Susie Wiles called the holdouts. When they emerged, two of the members who had voted for people other than Johnson switched their vote to him, giving him the votes he needed to become the Speaker of the 119th Congress. One of the holdouts, Ralph Norman, Republican of South Carolina, was the man who urged Trump to declare martial law back in January 17th of 2021 to keep President-elect Joe Biden from taking over the presidency. Yeah, that guy. Now, as soon as they had voted for Johnson, 11 far-right representatives sent a letter to their colleagues saying they had voted for Johnson because they wanted to make sure that they didn't mess up today's counting of Trump's electoral votes. But they warned if Johnson didn't reduce the deficit by enacting real spending cuts, stop working with Democrats, and only entertain measures supported by a majority of Republicans, they would challenge his speakership. Not exactly job security, you understand. Now, for his part, Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries went to the dais after it was confirmed by the vote, and gave a tradition, always the opposition leader gives a speech and gives the gavel over to the new speaker. That is tradition. And Hakeem Jeffries did a fine job. He had the line of the day on Friday. You might have missed it. Here is Hakeem Jeffries giving his speech before he introduced new House Speaker Mike Johnson.
2 months ago, the American people elected Donald Trump as the 47th president of the United States of America.
A standing ovation by the Republicans.
Thank you for that very generous applause. It's okay. There are no election deniers on our side of the aisle. You see? One should love America. One should love America when you win and when you lose. That's the patriotic thing to do, and that's the America that House Democrats will fight hard to preserve because we love this country.
There you go. House Speaker, or pardon me, House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries. I thought that was the line of the day. Well, and really kind of baited in the Republicans.
And they took the bait. They took the bait. Line and sinker.
Yeah. Whoever wrote that, or whether maybe it was him, but whatever person on his staff that helped him write that, that was well written to get the response that you want to kind of lure people in. But he's also, by the way, it also happens to be right. You know? That the way that our institutions, our country and democracy works is that you agree to abide by the results of the election, whether you win or lose. That's the point. I remember this day 4 years ago. I was working in what would have been my second coffee shop that I owned. And I told my barista that was working with me that day, Willie, we were watching it on the TV in the shop. You know, I'd worked in that building part-time for almost 4.5 years. I said, that is not normal. I said, you can't just go in. There is something really bad going on here, and watch it in real time, as I'm sure many of you listening today. And I think if you look back at the comments from both Republicans and Democrats on January 6th and 7th and 8th of 4 years ago, if you had suggested to anyone that 4 years from now, we'll be certifying Donald Trump's election again, most people would have said you were nuts. We kind of forget that, right? I mean, the news cycles go so fast. Nearly every Republican leader denounced it, the insurrection, denounced Trump, by the way, including people like Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, Paul Ryan, others. But here we are. And to Hakeem Jeffries' point, even though there are several of us who are deeply disappointed in the results of the election, it doesn't mean that we won't abide by the election results. We'll play the cut a little bit later. I forgot to send it to you, Zomers. One of the coolest things I saw over the weekend, it was really from Friday, and Tammy Baldwin, our U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, participated in this. You actually get sworn in the old Senate office chamber, which is not where you see it on C-SPAN 2 or whatever. It's a private type of ceremony. You have your friends and family, your significant other, whoever has a Bible or whatever you want to put your hand on. And the vice president, who is the president of the Senate, swears you in. And new senator from Arizona, Ruben Gallego, his son, I don't know how old he was, maybe 8, 9. He was there next to his dad as the vice president was swearing him in. And he looked up at her and with just kind of sad eyes, he said, and still sincere, this kid, and said to Vice President Harris, I'm really sorry you lost. And it could have been just a flip moment, but to show you the kind of person she is, she got down kind of on her haunches at his eye level and talked to him sincerely and said, you know, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. We're not going to give up. Compassion and goodness. What we need more of in this country. Going to come back, hear from Harry Dunn, the Capitol Police officer who was on the show back in June. What are his remembrances from this day 4 years ago? Stay with us.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Because the weather varied so much by region over the past year, so did alfalfa production. And we're at a time of year now where if you didn't have enough hay for the winter, you're looking to find some. I'm Stephanie Hoff with the Midwest Farm Report along with you midday on a Monday. Becky Brathel joins us. She's a regional crops and soils educator for Pierce, St. Croix, and Barron counties. She also authors the Division of Extension Hay Report. She walks us through hay inventory around the state.
So we had kind of an interesting year. Like the last 2 years, we've had some droughts, and so that's been hard to get hay to grow back or to grow. And then this year, with all the rains this spring, most people were able to get first and second crop off. But if you were in those places with the high droughts for the second half of the year, your inventory, you probably started to have to feed some hay. And so in the places where there were droughts in our state, the supply is not as high as people who got timely rains during the growing season.
Becky Brathel with the Division of Extension. Stick around. We'll take a look at our midday commodity prices next.
Did you know you can build a water and nutrient superhighway in your soil? You just need the Maximum Acre solution from Sound Agriculture. The easiest way to maximize your crop's access to nutrients all season long. How does it work? First, Source turns your soil into a nutrient factory, activating microbes that supply nitrogen, phosphorus, and micronutrients. Then Blueprint builds the delivery network. It provides a beneficial fungi called AMF, a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water. When used with Source, Blueprint expands the crop's reach beyond the roots, helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most. For the Maximum Acre solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants, Source it with Blueprint. Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
Commodity prices are seeing strength to kick off the week. From Chicago, cash corn is trading up 8.25 cents at $4.59 a bushel. December new crop corn is up 0.75 cents at $4.46.5. Cash soybeans are up 10.75 cents, trading at $10.02.5. And November new crop beans are up 8.25 at $10.16.5. Cash wheat is up 12.5 cents at $5.41.75. And July new crop wheat is 12.25 cents higher, trading at $5.61.5. If we look at our Class 3 milk contracts, the February contract is up 22 cents at $20.79 a hundredweight. And the March contract is up 23 cents at $20.45 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bright and beautiful today with mostly sunny skies and temperatures just a smidge warmer. Highs will climb to the low 20s today with winds out of the north gusting around 20 miles per hour. This will make us feel more like the single digits today, but it's a boost. We'll become mostly cloudy tonight with calmer winds. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Currently, it's 21.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name 1 year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some Republicans don't seem very enthusiastic about continuing to fund the IRS. Why would that be? We'll kick that around. Join us.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Yeah, freedom.
wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on this Monday, January 6th, 2025. Coming up a bit later, what's worse involving months? A little bit lighter look at the news. What's your favorite state park? They're turning 125 years old this year. Talk a little bit about that. And Craig T. Nelson, coach, singing the national anthem at the Packers game, which, of course, yes, the Bears won. They got one over on us. Packers in the playoffs just merrily. They will take on the Philadelphia Eagles, 3:30 kickoff time on Fox on television, or you can listen to it on the Civic Media Radio Network in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and Kenosha. Right now, following the certification in Washington, D.C., Vice President Kamala Harris at the dais right now, House Speaker Mike Johnson next to her. They have gone through at least the count, the official count, and can now report that Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election, 295 to 214. So it's over. It has happened the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote. You certify the results. Democracy moves on. You might not like the results, but that's the way democracy works. As Hakeem Jeffries said, we played the cut for you in the last segment. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
And also, Johnson and Harris just shook hands.
Yes, they did.
A simple thing.
It's a simple thing, but not without noting. And I know there is a lot of folks today who are really upset about this happening. Very angry. There's a lot. I was home doing a lot of just kind of household stuff and trying to sort out work on the show. A lot of just kind of homework stuff. I was going through stuff online a lot. And the tone and the tenor of a lot of online media right now, not even like official media, but just people's takes on social media on the left, extraordinarily angry. You can just tell there's a lot of hurt, a lot of disappointment, a lot of anger. That's okay to be angry. I certainly don't, you know, the person I wanted to have elected didn't win. But I also think it's important to take note of this day happening in the U.S. Capitol and, quite frankly, what is happening today at the state capitol. A new Congress is being sworn in, has been sworn in now in Washington. A new president has been certified in Madison. New assembly people and new state senators are being sworn in. And as someone who helped with a number of inaugurations at the state capitol, it's one day, at least it used to be. I haven't been to one in a while. It used to be the one day when everybody at least pretended to get along. There were no sharp barbs thrown in speeches. The families were there. It's always cool because the families get to come and go onto the floor a little bit and the rules are a little bit looser. There's receptions. People are going into the new offices. It's the one day of hope, quite frankly. And that's the way our country is supposed to work. You could fight it out on the floor of the House or the Senate or the Assembly. Go at it. Fight for your cause. But when the gavel hits, that's when we're supposed to come together as Wisconsinites and Americans and talk to one another and realize the other side isn't the devil. The other side isn't our enemy. They're people that we disagree with. That's something that has changed. I think that Trumpism and new media has helped change that rapidly. That now legislators in Madison and in Washington, they do things for the clicks. They do things for the socials. And I can tell you, as someone who spent a lot of time at the Capitol and the state Senate side, legislating is very difficult work if you're going to do it well. because legislating requires you to sit down and listen to the other side, and many times in private meetings. And yes, strong words are said, tempers flare. But then it used to be, you know, you'd go have a drink with that person or someone else in their caucus. Or you'd come back the next day and you'd find some way to get the people's business done. Legislating isn't about zero-sum politics. It doesn't mean it has to be this way or we're out of here. We're so upset about this. We're not going to take this anymore. That's the way activists talk. That's the way partisans talk. It's not the way legislators talk, or at least successful legislators on either side of the aisle. Fred Risser, longest serving member of a legislature in America, Democrat from Madison, longtime president of the Wisconsin State Senate. He had a temper. He got a little feisty. But Fred Risser got a lot of things done in this state, and it was because he listened to and worked with people on the other side of the aisle. My friend Tim Cullen, who just passed away a couple weeks ago, avid Democrat, he worked with my former boss, Dale Schultz, Republican, to actually move the needle and help the discussion. Yeah, and it took 10 years, but we finally got to a place where Wisconsin has fairer maps. Bob Jouk, Democrat of Superior, Poplar. He and Tommy Thompson didn't always get along at all, but they found ways to sit down and work together. Joe Leon, longtime Republican chair of the Joint Finance Committee, conservative, but found ways to sit down and work for the betterment of Wisconsin. That's what legislating is about. It's not about brandishing political swords. It's not about the biggest protest out there. It's not about the most clicks on social. As Trygve Olson has said on this program 100 times, in politics, there are those that want to be and those that want to do. And the people that do and get things done actually care about Wisconsinites and care about Americans more than how many clicks they get on socials. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mark in Pertisac. Mark, thanks for listening. What say you?
Yeah, well, you know, it's wonderful today happened, you know, and procedure was followed, and we honored tradition. But let's remember that 4 years ago, tradition was not followed. Tradition was not honored. This current members of both our Senate and our House of Representatives, who were actively involved in the insurrection itself, they were given tours the day before. They failed to recognize the results of the election. You know, and the whole Wisconsin sweep thing, it wasn't just the fake electors. The insurrection that happened on January 6th was part and parcel of the plot to overthrow our democracy and install Donald Trump as president. And for, you know, and these people that are angry about it, you know, they're still angry about the fact that Trump lost. And, I mean, there's still talking about today Marjorie Taylor Greene and probably Lauren Boebert, neither of which have sterling characters, as we have seen on their public behavior. I mean, Lauren Boebert, for goodness sakes, had to move districts because she wasn't going to win in the district she held, so she moved to another Republican district so she could stay in the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. I mean, these people need to think about democracy itself. I mean, we've got the guy, Clown from South Carolina, I think, that was, you know, talking about, you know, that Donald Trump should have called out the army to put down, you know, to declare martial law and just install himself as dictator for life. I mean, that South Carolina, for goodness sakes, that's a state that instituted the insurrection against the United States during the Civil War.
Right.
I mean, shots were fired.
And Mark, I don't agree with anything. I agree with everything you said. And we're going to have these quotes from a police officer, Harry Dunn, in a minute. And yes, we should never forget what happened 4 years ago. And we should call that out. But I don't think it's appropriate to be, maybe not appropriate, maybe that's too strong a word. I guess I'm happy that, even though I don't agree with the result, I'm happy that democracy is continuing today. Because I think we have...
Certainly.
This example has to be set, don't you think?
Certainly, it has. And we did set, and the example was set today, but they failed to do that
4 100%.
Years ago. And that should be recognized as well, because, you know, we played by the rules, and they didn't. And even Mike Johnson, who, for all we know, he was in an ass deep as well, knew what was going on back 4 years ago.
Yep.
So, I mean, that if I ran into these people in the street, I'd challenge them with that question, you know, what did you know and when did you know it? And that because their oath is to the Constitution, and that they're, and they all are frequently, you know, they want to claim God, you know, that they, you know, so help me God. Well, God does not look fine. What is it in Dante's? What's the circle of hell that, and where oath breakers sent to it in Dante's Inferno? I mean, that I can't remember, it was the seventh or eighth circle of hell they were sent to, but I mean, it was one of the worst, one of the less pleasant ones.
Appreciate the call, Mark, as always. 855-752-4842. Peggy, listening to beautiful Brooklyn, Wisconsin. Peggy, thanks for calling in. What say you?
I think the problem is yes, it was a wonderful day. Yes, the Democrats always extend the olive branch. But there are so many Democrats that are so sick of why are these senators and congressmen not held accountable for what they did. It's illegal. If it was you and I, we'd be in prison and the keys would be locked away. That's the problem. And you know, when Trump's done with his 4 years, we're going to go all the way through this whole damn thing again, because he is not playing by the rules and he never will.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm fearful and concerned about what could happen in 4 years. I'm hoping not. But I don't discount what you're saying either. And yes, I think you're right. Many of the things that Trump has done and been proved in court, you and I would be in jail for it. I mean, Biden himself has said that Merrick Garland was probably a poor choice for attorney general. But, you know, and we won't go down that road right now, but I'm not saying there's one reason that Trump was elected in November, but certainly the fact that there was a portion of Democrats who decided to stay home or vote for someone else did not help Kamala Harris. And
I agree, but Johnson should be in jail. I mean, come on, people.
Mike Johnson?
He's even admitted to what he's done.
Well, I'm not aware of any charges that have been brought against Mike Johnson directly.
No, Ron Johnson.
Oh, Ron Johnson. Well, yeah, that's a whole other kettle of fish, and he delivered the fake electors to Washington.
He's admitted to it, and they're never going to go after him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, Josh Call, a Democrat in Wisconsin, apparently hasn't found evidence to enough that he feels to bring it against Ron Johnson in court. But I don't want to speak for him. All we know is there are no charges filed. Right. To your point.
Right. So that's why Democrats are so ugly and so pissed off, is because we always extend the olive branch. I loved Obama. He did it over and over, and there were days I wanted him to pull his big boy pants up and say, done. And that's what Trump does, and that's why people vote for him.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the call, Peggy, as always. Thank you so much for listening. 855-752-4842. Want to come back on the other side? Well, because, yeah, we probably need to come back and do it. Because I want to play this. It's not very long. We just took a portion of our interview with Harry Dunn, who is a Capitol Police officer. And it wasn't just there for a little while, by the way. It was there quite a while. He was on the show back in June. Harry Dunn served as a United States Capitol Police officer from 2008 to 2023. And he was one of several officers present during the attack, the insurrection on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, 4 years ago. He testified with his colleagues before the United States Congress for the House Select Committee investigating the attack. And his efforts earned him both the Congressional Gold Medal and Presidential Citizens Medal. Now, he was on this show, as we said, back in June, trying to bring awareness. And I think moving forward, one of the questions that we have to keep in mind that may be helpful in future elections, say for Congress or other things, if you say that you're for law and order, then how can you really say that January 6th was just a little tourist ride? You can't, I don't think. But don't take it from me, a former Republican. Listen to a guy who was there, a police officer, on the other side. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. you could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Voting Rights Act of 1965, Section 2, included opportunity for communities of minority voters to elect the congressional candidate of their choice by creating a majority-minority voting district. In 2025, Alabama, for the first time in history, has two black members of Congress. It wasn't easy. Alabama's population is almost 27% black, yet the state had only one majority-minority congressional district out of seven after the 2020 redistricting cycle. Voters sued under the Voting Rights Act, and in 2022, the U.S. Supreme Court in Allen v. Milligan determined the legislature had intentionally diluted black voting power. Alabama's federal district court ordered new maps, which the legislature and governor defied, refusing to create a second majority-minority district. Finally, in October 2023, the court chose a map drawn by a court-appointed expert, which included a second black district. Black Alabamian Shamari Figures, son of civil rights activists, won the second congressional district 55% to 45%. The Milligan decision was long-awaited justice for black Alabamians, but a Supreme Court decision in a South Carolina gerrymandering case may narrow already weakened Voting Rights Act protections. We have more on the Milligan decision and its consequences at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the Big High School Sports Show.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock at the top of the hour. News, weather, sports. And then back with hour 2. Going to do a what's worse in hour 2 on months. Months. We'll talk about that in hour 2. Also, the state park system here in Wisconsin turning 125 years old. That's what we need to do with this show more in 2025. Get to more state parks. Craig T. Nelson, coach, sang the national anthem in Green Bay. We'll have a cut of that. And are you doing dry January? New trend says younger people are giving it a try. Talk about that more all in hour number 2. I want to play this clip again from Harry Dunn, by the way, off the text line right now from Wisconsin Rapids. Laura in Wisconsin Rapids talking about January 6th, saying, "We know what we saw on live TV 4 years ago. I have a hard time hearing the narrative change by so many regarding the insurrection attempt. We can't let them keep talking over the truth without calling it out." Laura from Wisconsin Rapids. Agreed. Harry Dunn was on this program back in June, had a chance to talk to him, former Capitol Police officer from 2008 to 2023. I asked him a little bit about folks that like to talk about back in the blue, and again, as a former chairman of the Public Safety Commission back on the City Council in Richland Center, worked with a lot of fine and wonderful law enforcement officials. I'm a big backer of law enforcement. Realizing they're, like any other profession, a few bad apples. But most of them put their lives on the line for us every single day, just like Harry Dunn. And I asked him about folks who like to talk about back the blue, but then have a different take on January 6th.
And it's not even about back the blue, or that's a slogan, man. It's a cool hashtag.
Right.
They could put it as the topic of the subject of a fundraiser email. It's worthless unless their actions put behind it. And like January 6th, man, like this isn't about liberal versus conservatism, or this isn't about, hey, we're spending too much money in X amount of place. We can have those discussions later. But this is about what's right and wrong. Y'all watched on TV, y'all watched on live broadcast, people beating the crap out of police officers. Mm-hmm. On behalf of the former president. Like, that's not speculation. That's not the left grandstanding. That's not, that is what happened. The people that were there on January 6th said that they were there because the former president told them to come there. They were there with the intentions of stopping the steal and stopping the certification of the election. I don't understand. Just because, yeah, it makes your leader look bad, how can you downplay, deny that truth? Like, I hate the whataboutisms, and they don't understand how two things can be true. Sure, you want to win the presidency, you can be want to be conservative, and you want to take away Roe v. Wade. That's fine. Like, I have my own opinions about that. But when it comes down to what happened that day, those people were sent to the Capitol by the former president to attack it and to stop, the delay, stop, whatever, the certification of the election. And, you know, people want to blame, or the Capitol wasn't prepared and officers did this and blah, 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 or Nancy Pelosi didn't do enough security, whatever. I hear all of that. That's kind of like blaming the person for not locking their house when a burglar breaks in.
Sure.
Maybe we should have more security, but not blame the robber for coming in and breaking in. At what point does personal accountability matter? Well, something that Republicans preach a lot, but it seems like they don't receive it.
Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police Officer of the United States from 2008 to 2023. He was there on January 6th. He was on our program back in June. Someone who was there, a police officer. I don't understand how people could dispute what happened when you hear it, not just from him, Michael Falcone, on and on, witness after witness under oath with the January 6th committee. Over the weekend, a lot of attention got given to President Joe Biden awarding the Presidential Citizen Medal to a number of people, including Bono for his work with HIV/AIDS in Africa, Michael J. Fox for his work in Parkinson's. Yes, George Soros got one. I'm not sure why. I think that was a mistake. Hillary Rodham Clinton for her work as Secretary of State. That got a lot of attention. What got less attention was that President Biden also awarded at that ceremony the Medal of Honor to five Korean War veterans who may have been denied the nation's highest award for military valor because of their race or ethnicity, and upgraded awards of Distinguished Service Cross to the Medal of Honor to two Vietnam veterans. He also awarded the Medal of Valor to eight public safety officers for acting above and beyond the call of duty. The awards went to officers who ran towards gunfire to save children during the Nashville Covenant school shooting, swam through freezing water to save a drowning woman, and rushed into burning buildings to rescue women and children. Biden honored the military personnel for their bravery and the scientists for their discoveries. But it was his remarks about the eight public safety officers awarded the Medal of Valor for acting above and beyond the call of duty that stood out. He called the president and said, "Folks, I wanted you to come in because I think it's very important that the public sees them and they know who they are. There's a lot fewer empty chairs around the kitchen table and dining room table because of what these guys did." Biden thanked their families, quote, "Because if you're the spouse of a firefighter or police officer, you always worry about that phone call," he told the awarded recipients. "You're the best America has to offer," unquote. Why is it that those things so rarely get talked about and reported? Back on the other side, hour two straight ahead. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Monday, January 6th. Never forget, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I am live from Madison and welcome singer-songwriter Katie Scullin into the studio. Then Matt Miller and I discuss award season and 2025 upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. A joint session of Congress is underway as lawmakers certify the 2024 election results, starting with Alabama.
Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida received 9 votes for president, and J.D. Vance of the state of Ohio received 9 votes for vice president.
But there are plenty of reminders of the insurrection that happened 4 years ago. Vice President Harris in video posted earlier.
As we have seen, our democracy can be fragile. And it is up to then each one of us to stand up for our most cherished principles.
Correspondent Nicole Killian is there.
Very personal day for a lot of lawmakers, one that some of them still struggle with to this day.